This conference will now be recorded.
Son súper puntuales.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Emily Steinberg with One Star Foundation, and I'm joined by the rest of the One Star Manafort Grants team. It is Thursday, April 16th, 2015, and we will be recording our grantee call today. If you would be so kind as to mute yourself when you are speaking, you can use the mute button on your phone or press star one if you don't have a mute button. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to take roll, and then we'll also give folks a chance at the very end. If you missed, if you joined a little bit late, let us know. So I'm going to go down our list today. Do we have anybody from Amarillo and Tennessee? Okay. American Youth Works?
Yeah, Erin and Chris here.
Hi, guys. Austin ISD?
Karen is on the call.
Hi, Karen. Avance also?
Yeah, Aisha Sandoval is here.
Hi, Aisha. Boys and Girls Club of Austin?
Yeah, Caroline Anthony is here.
Hi, Caroline. Breakthrough?
Yeah, Sarah and Donnie are here.
I'm sorry, that was Donnie and Sarah?
Sarah?
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you all. City Square.
Eli, Liz, and Jeff are all here.
I'm sorry, could you say your names one more time? Who was there?
Eli, Liz,
okay.
And Jeff.
Great. Thank you. City Year.
Sarah Kasprick is here.
Hi, Sarah. College Forward.
Lee and Cameron are here.
And Carl. Okay.
Oh, and Carl. Carl.
And Carl.
Right. Hey, Carl. Three people, nice. Okay, Communities and Schools, Central Texas. Was that Jennifer I heard?
Yes, yeah, sorry.
Okay, great. Communities and Schools, Heart of Texas.
This is Meredith.
Hi, Meredith. Front Steps, Keep Austin House.
Hi, Lori and Emma here.
Hello, ladies. Harris County Department of Education.
Hello, it's Nikaje Turner.
Hi, Nikaje. Literacy Coalition of Central Texas. Okay, Project Grad Houston. Project Transformation.
Casey's here.
Hi, Casey. Reading partner.
Hi, Brittany is here.
Hi. Swift.
Hi, is Heather and Sylvan and Joe are all here?
The trifecta.
Yes.
Thank you. Teach for America.
Hi, Jim here.
Okay, thank you. UTV.
Larissa.
I should see who came from. I'm sorry, who was that?
Larissa.
Hi, Larissa. Travis County.
Lydia here.
Hi, Lydia. United Way of El Paso County.
Hi, everyone. Colleen's here.
Hi, Colleen.
Hi.
University of North Texas.
Here's Keisha. Oh, both of us.
Keisha, and who else was there?
David.
Hi, David. UT Austin 8.
It's Mariel and Nathan and Despina.
All right, great. And can you all hear me okay? I know I'm actually on my cell phone right now, so unfortunately I don't have another way of calling in, but can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. I'll try to sit as close as I can to the phone, so thank you so much. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started with our update from the field call. I'll give the update, then pass it on to our program officers for program updates. Pass it on to the fiscal grants officers for some fiscal updates, and we'll end with Elisa giving some grant management updates, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of time at the end to spotlight one of our grantees for Mayor's Day. So we're going to go ahead and get started, but again, please do mute yourself if you can while you are not speaking using the mute button or star one. So thanks so much. So kicking us off, I wanted to give you some key updates of some recent exciting events that we've had. As you all know, April 7th, 2015 was the Mayor's and County Day of Recognition for National Service. As I think you all can attest, this was an incredibly powerful day for everyone in National Service in Texas. We had tremendous success. We more than doubled the number of elected officials participating from last year. You all may remember that we had 130 participating officials in 2014. This year, the final number, which is after kind of the publicity deadline that happened, but the final total real number is actually 280 Texas elected officials participating. So give yourselves a pat on the back and a round of applause, because that is really tremendous, and we really thank you all for your help. And for those of you who participated in events, made sure that your AmeriCorps members were out there on the ground at those events, looking great in their AmeriCorps gear. I know we sent one-star staff across the state, and it was just wonderful to see all of the AmeriCorps members and the Senior Corps volunteers in communities at city halls and county judges' offices and such around the state. A few bragging rights. In case you're curious, we had more than 10% of participating elected officials across the country from Texas. So go Texas. Over 18 million Texans, or two-thirds of the state's total population, were represented by those elected officials. So we covered two-thirds of the state this year. And we had 26 of the 27 cities with over 100,000 people participating. The one holdout year after year is Mesquite, Texas. So if anybody has any connections in Mesquite, Texas, please let us know for next year. And our five largest counties were represented by a county judge's proclamation. So that's really fantastic. And we also had our first tribal participant, which was Governor Sisa of the Isleta del Sur Pueblo Nation. So that was really exciting to have our first tribal nation represented as well. So thank you all. And we'll hear a little bit about some highlights at the end. You all should have received a general email blast the other day from us that has a link to a Flickr album with lots of photos that may include your members in some of them. So please take a look at our Flickr, our one-star Flickr album. We have an entire album for Mayor's Day 2015. And it was just an incredibly successful year. As you know, we worked through the state office, the corporation state office, and their senior core grantees. And I think next year we're even strategizing about offering more training to folks that are helping us secure those elected official participation. So if you're interested in kind of being one of the key organizers next year, let me know. we will definitely be looking for more leadership on the ground. And this is just a really great way to get recognition for your program and your organization as well. So thank you so much for participating. I also wanted to give a quick recap of AmeriCorps Week 2015, which happened March 9th through 13th, 2015. We, as you know, participated more virtually than anything else, but we really appreciate all the social media activity that you all were part of. The branding looks amazing. A lot of you were using the new banners and posters and signage, and your members were in gear. We got a lot of you featured on the national Storify that was put together by the corporation's Office of External Affairs. So a few key shout outs to those of you who got nominated and kind of featured on the national Storify, including ACE, the Austin AmeriCorps Alums Chapter, Austin ISD, one of our VISTA projects, the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation, Texas Alliance of Boys and Girls Club, Texas Conservation Corps, and Travis County 4-H Capital. You all were featured on the National Storify for AmeriCorps Week because of your outstanding photos and social media participation. So great job, and thank you all for helping demonstrate that AmeriCorps works and helping us embody the spirit of getting things done for the Lone Star State. Next year, I think we will probably do something similar, but we appreciate that you all are still working collaboratively within your cities and regions to host events. They may not always take place during AmeriCorps Week, and we know that that is often during spring break time for many of you, but I know that there are still some AmeriCorps Week events coming up throughout the different metropolitan areas and regions, so please do keep us posted if you end up hosting other AmeriCorps Week events that we should be aware of. I know there's an Austin one coming up, and there may even be others. So thank you all again for your work to make AmeriCorps Week a big success during March, but also throughout the spring. Next up, I want to give you all a heads up about something special happening this June. You may be aware of this or you may not, but AmeriCorps alums nationally will be celebrating the 20th anniversary of the first cohort of AmeriCorps alums to ever become alums. So this is obviously following on the heels of the AmeriCorps 20th anniversary of when the first members were inducted, which was last September. And so we're coming up on the first kind of graduating class landmark and milestone, and that is this June. AmeriCorps alums is working with state commissions and the Corporation for National and Community Service on putting together some events and some social media strategies to really highlight and showcase alums and all the amazing things that alums have done over the past 20 years since they first kind of kicked off. And I know many of you out there are also alums, as are many of our staff here at OneStar. So we will be doing something, we're not totally sure what yet, but we will be doing something during the Southwest National Service Conference to honor the 20th anniversary of AmeriCorps alums. But we really encourage each of you to reach out to your local alum chapter. I know we have at least chapters in Austin, Schulenburg, Houston, San Antonio, and North Texas, which is Dallas and Fort Worth area. And so we really encourage each of you to seek out your local chapter and find out how you can support them in planning an event in your region or, you know, doing some kind of social media strategy together collectively to honor the alums of your region. So that is my homework for all of you. Please do get in touch with your local alums chapter and think about ways that you can celebrate the alums from your program as well as those from your region. Another big date coming up that we really haven't had a chance to talk to you all about, but I wanted to get it on your radar screen because it is very exciting, is October 16th. Wendy Spencer from the corporation has recently announced that the corporation plans to make October 16th the annual national swearing-in date for AmeriCorps members across the country. So what this means is that many of you typically have your own swearing-in events, or you may collaborate on larger citywide swearing-in events. We are now asking you to put this on your calendar for October 16th and to do everything in your power to make that day a special day so that we can align with the national swearing-in date and movement as well. We're still thinking through here at OneStar what we will plan to do and how we can support this effort. It could potentially look something a little more similar to what the 20th anniversary looked like a smaller scaled down version of that annually, but where we might be able to host a central event and broadcast to all of you. But we are still looking into the logistics of that, as well as, of course, the budget and the budgetary components of that. So do let us know if you think that would be something of interest to you, if we broadcast a centralized event, or if you would prefer to really do a decentralized swearing-in process. Again, we may do something similar like Mayor's Day, where we could potentially have one-star staff spread out across the state that day to participate in the various swearing-ins each year. And so please take a moment right now while you're on this call and put October 16th on your calendar, and please hold that date. Now, I know what many of you are thinking, which is that is actually the final APR and final FFR deadline as well. So we will be thinking here at One Star about if there's any way that that could be changed or moved as well for our purposes, because we really want to make sure that you all are able to celebrate October 16th in style. So there will be more information forthcoming. I have a few more items, and then I will open the line for questions. So a few other key updates. We've included in the agenda for today's call a link to the corporation's public engagement and outreach plan. I know I've showed this to you all before, and we've put it in the AmeriCorps update in the past, but I just want to make sure that each month you all are kind of cross-referencing this national calendar of important themes and important events. There are many of them in April. We've already talked about a few of them, including Mayor's Day, which was April 7th. We have a few other things happening and coming up. This week happens to be National Volunteer Week, so happy Volunteer Week to everyone. This weekend is Global Youth Service Day, and I know some of you may be participating or having your members participate in Global Youth Service Day. We also will be having Earth Day on April 22nd, and that is actually ideal because the theme of this month, April, nationally for National Service, is environmental stewardship. So if you have any connection to environmental stewardship, please put April 22nd of next week on your calendar, and please feel free to participate via social media to highlight the ways in which you are doing environmental work or supporting environmental stewardship, even indirectly. And please do tag One Star and the corporation if you can. There will also be a VISTA 50th anniversary event happening in Philadelphia, I believe at the end of this month. So a lot of good stuff happening in April. Next month, which is May, we won't be having a call, but just a heads up on May. May is Older Americans Month, and therefore it is also the month that hosts Senior Corps Week, which is May 18th through 22nd, and the theme is senior service for May. So probably not a ton of things you all can do to participate in that, except to maybe lend support to your local Senior Corps affiliates and programs if you would like, and also you can be supportive on social media. And then we will touch base again in June, which is Healthy Futures Month. And then we will go through the summer later on, but there will be Inclusion Month in July and Education Month in August. So you can continue to put these on your calendar or your radar screen as you see fit and figure out which month your program most fits into, and definitely put that on the radar screen of your communications or social media team. So that you can really be featured and highlight your program during the month that makes the most sense for your program. Okay, moving right along, I wanted to give you all some other key dates. We have heard from our program officer at the Corporation for National and Community Service that she will be coming to Texas for her compliance site visit that we've mentioned to you all previously. And we have set those dates as August 24th through 28th. There was a possibility of scheduling it earlier than August 24th through 28th. However, we wanted to make sure that most programs had members already starting by the time she's here. And we know that there's really just no good time in August. So we're doing our best to coordinate schedules. But you can go ahead and put that on your calendar. There will likely be a date before that by which we will need your documents or member files for sampling. So your grants officers will be in touch once we know specifically what kinds of documents we might be needing from you all and from which members or which years of your grant. I know I've gotten a couple of questions about what is the time period that is typically monitored. Typically, it's the past 2 years of your program that the corporation is most interested in. We don't know for sure. It could be the past 3 years. or it could get expanded if they find issues with the past 2 years. They could then ask to see files from previous years. But you're generally pretty good if you've audited your files and looked through your documents 2 to 3 years back. So that is my recommendation to you all, is to get your member files and AmeriCorps program documentation all in order for the past 3 years. And that will make us all very happy and will limit the amount of time you have to spend on any compliance resolution issues. So we thank you in advance for doing your self-audit before August. And a few other exciting updates related to the Southwest National Service Conference, which will be happening in Fort Worth, June 8th through 10th. We're excited to announce that we are in the final stages of receiving corporation approval on our agenda. We have an amazing schedule planned for all of you, a ton of variety. I know several of you are serving on either the planning committee or subcommittee, so thank you for your help. And I think many of you also filled out a survey a few months back, letting us know what you're most interested in. I think we have just really great cross-section of workshops and speakers for all of you. Registration will be coming out most likely next week. That is the plan, pending corporation approval, of course. We do have a couple of key updates for you. The registration fee structure has changed very slightly. So now the main registration fee is $165. And that includes meals, including a light breakfast and lunch on all days of the conference when you would be offered a breakfast or a lunch. And it also will offer a discounted registration of $135 to the first 100 registrants. So you may want to keep somebody at your office on the lookout for the registration link when it comes out next week to register you very quickly if you would like to get the $135 rate. It will sell out very quickly for the first 100 people, and we're actually expecting to potentially sell out the entire conference as well. That has happened in every other region that is hosting a conference where they have exceeded the capacity of the hotel. So we are expecting to have as many as 350 people attend this conference from 9 states. So please don't wait to the last minute to register yourselves or get your hotel reservations. The hotel block will also likely sell out. And the current rate that we have with them is $129 per night for a single or a double. So that's below the federal per diem rate for Fort Worth. So it's a very affordable conference. It's also near DFW Airport. It's only about 11 miles away. So if you are planning travel, we strongly suggest you try to fly into the DFW Airport instead of Dallas Love, which is a little bit further away, closer to, I think, 40 miles away. And DFW is the fourth busiest airport in the world. So it is, maybe I should say the country, I think it's the country, but it's very affordable and there's tons of flight options for you if you want to fly. So be thinking about that. Be looking for registration information next week. Okay, that's all of my updates. Sorry to take up so much time, you guys, but does anybody have any questions before we move on to program updates? No questions? All right, great. I'm going to turn it over to Miranda and Jacqueline for some program updates.
Hi, everyone. This is Miranda. So the first update, which I believe most of you know this already, but we're just sending one last reminder out that your mid-year APR report is due today. So I know we've gotten quite a few in already, and it seems like the form's been working pretty well for everyone. So yeah, we're glad to see that it's working out. Jacqueline and I are in the office today until the end of the day, so please let us know if you have any glitches or anything like that. So there's that. My next update is about an update on our member inclusion and experience survey. Thank you to all of you who sent that out to your members. We had a really great response rate this year. We had 959 responses, which 899 of those were from our AmeriCorps state program, which is really great. I was looking at numbers from past years, and we've more than doubled our response rate since 2012 and 13 when we did this. This is our third year doing it, so in 2012-13, we had 446 responses. Last year, we had 841. So we're increasing the numbers, and that's great. So thank you all. We are compiling all of the data and we're working on getting our report, our finalized statewide report done, and then we'll have individualized reports for everyone as well. And we're hoping to have those by May. So just stay tuned. I did also want to mention that we had quite a few programs that had 100% response rate, which we're really excited about, and we'll be announcing those folks, I believe, at the Southwest Cluster. So anyway, thank you all for getting that out to your members. We get some really great info from them. So that's that. I'm going to hand that over to Jacqueline.
Hi, everybody. This is Jacqueline. I have a few criminal history updates that went out last week. I just wanted to make sure that everyone saw the email about FBI exemptions for departmental order, orders using the FBI channelers. We don't think this is going to apply to many of you. If you have a Texas DPS account that you're using to receive and review results, this does not apply to you. But if you have any questions about any of that, please talk with Miranda and I. The other criminal history check update is Wendy Spencer sent out an email that we forwarded to everyone last week emphasizing the importance of criminal history checks. So we're just taking this opportunity to kind of underline that, that the expectation from Wendy Spencer and from all of us is that all checks are completed on time, every time. So any questions about that, please reach out to us. The other criminal history check thing, one more, is just a reminder that if you have any expiring ASPs for certain states like Arizona and probably a few others, don't forget about renewing those. Okay. Other updates, disaster training. This is just a reminder about the disaster training requirements that everyone needs to complete that training with their members and ensure that they're receiving basic training on disaster preparedness, response, recovery on an annual basis. We are working on creating some resources for that training, but will likely be available for next grant year. So if you haven't completed that training yet and you're unsure what you need to do to complete it, please reach out to Miranda and I, and we can help you out with that. And then the last update I have is about the healthcare compliance deadline that's coming up July 1st. As of July 1st, all AmeriCorps programs are needing to provide minimum essential coverage for their full-time members. And for this year, we need to see that programs are working towards that if you're not already providing that. And again, any questions about that, please reach out. And I'm going to turn it back to Emily.
Thanks, Jacqueline and Miranda. Jacqueline and Miranda wanted me to make an exciting announcement for all of you, and I know we're probably going to get a ton of questions about this, so please be listening. We have decided at OneStar to offer a little bit of additional flexibility regarding a previous requirement that we have always had related to the definition of a term of service. So for those of you who have been around for a while or dealt with this kind of issue before, you must know that OneStar has a kind of additional requirement above and beyond members completing 1,700 hours for their term of service. That is the federal requirement. In Texas, and for many years, OneStar has required that members must also serve through the contractual end date of their member service agreement with no ifs, ands, or buts. However, several situations have occurred over the past year or so that have made us rethink a little bit of this policy. We will not be completely changing this policy. However, we will be providing case-by-case opportunities for individual waivers to the duration component of the requirement. That means that all members must still absolutely serve 1,700 hours. They must still absolutely have good performance and be in good standing with your program. However, in order to earn an education award, I should say, and to complete successfully and be considered retained. However, we have some additional language that we will be sharing with you all very soon that will allow for occasional case-by-case waivers for members that have met all other requirements for the term of service, but you may request a waiver from the duration for members in certain unusual circumstances if the member has completed the minimum hours requirement and all other program specified requirements, is in good standing with your program, and is seeking one of the following post-service options. So the first one is serving in another national service program that requires and I say requires, the member to start a new term of service before their current term concludes. So for instance, if you have a member who then chooses to join as a VISTA or decides to join another national service program or go into the Peace Corps, then we can talk about them potentially not having to serve through the end of their contractual end date as long as all other requirements are met. The second case is participating in a valuable life after AmeriCorps opportunity that requires, and again, I say requires, the member to start before their current term concludes. Program staff, and that's all of you, are under absolutely no obligation to request such waivers for their members and should only do this if you feel you are in full support of the member's requested change in service end date. That means if you have any hesitations whatsoever, if this member will be leaving you high and dry, if there will be a gap in service created that is unsurmountable for your program, we do not want you to request this waiver. And members who have not completed their minimum hours requirement, and I should say this isn't just 1,700 hours for full-time, this applies to all service types, I apologize for that. So whatever their minimum hours requirement is federally, then or what was in your agreed upon contract, if for some reason you have higher than the federal requirement, then they are not eligible for this waiver if they haven't completed those minimum hours. Also, and we are working on a form to document this, but waivers must be approved by One Star in writing before you were to allow members to make this change in their service end date. So you can't give this exception out willy-nilly without consulting with One Star and your grants officers and making sure that they have approved it in writing and probably worked through a form with you on making sure that all these requirements have been otherwise met. The goal of this flexibility is to allow members who are wonderful members who happen to have incredible opportunities at the end of their service year be able to take advantage of those opportunities, provided it does not leave your program in a bind, and provided that nobody else will be left in a bind as a result of them leaving a little bit early. And when I say a little bit early, we're typically talking about a few days, a week, maybe 2 weeks. We're not talking about leaving 6 months early into a term of service. That would absolutely not qualify for that. So we're leaving some subjectivity here because we want to work with you through those potential case-by-case situations. So I'm sure we're going to get a ton of questions about this, and I want you all to be thinking about if you want to even publicize this to your members, you may choose to keep this close to your chest and only offer this to the exceptional members that this might apply to rather than promoting it widely to members, which could lead to an issue with retention if they know that this is available to them. We will let you make that decision for your program on how you want to announce this or if you want to announce this at all to your members. Personally, I probably wouldn't announce it to my members, and I would only allow it for those that come to me with exceptional circumstances. But I will leave that up to you all. And so will your program officers. And so they are here as a resource for you if you have any questions. So I will now let you all ask any questions you may have about that.
Okay, Emily, I'll start. You know I like questions.
Yes, I can't hear you that well, Jennifer. Can you talk louder?
Sorry. So I hear what you're saying about not publicizing it. My concern is we have to lay out all the contractual requirements, including the previous the end of term of service in their member service contract, and that's part of, I know it's been part of our PARA documentation before, our pre-war documentation. So can you all provide us some sample language we can put in member contract? Because my concern is I can't do my member service agreement and then offer an exception to that unless I did like an amendment to the service agreement. Am I making any sense?
Yes, that's a really good point. I think we will be publishing this language, so you will have the language that you can pull from if you choose, if you want to add this to your member service agreement. So that will be sent out very shortly, and it will be in the next AmeriCorps update. So stay tuned for the language that you can then include in your service agreement. You can always try to find a way to downplay it so that it's very clear that it is only for exceptional circumstances. So that would probably be my suggestion.
Yeah, and I just want to say thanks for offering this because I know we've had members wanting to go into other programs and having to start before our term ends, and they've had to make a choice, and it's a difficult choice.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to be punitive to members who have great performance and have, you know, been able to find amazing opportunities. So that is not the goal of our original requirement. The goal was to make sure that programs weren't left high and dry in serving their, you know, clients and communities. So you will be seeing this language, and it will be included in next year's grant terms and conditions. So we just wanted to let you know this now, because we know that many members' terms of service are ending very soon during the summer months. So keep this information for the spring, and we will be working with you all on a case-by-case basis if you have a situation come up. Any other questions before we move on to fiscal updates? Okay, great. I'm going to pass it over to Mary and Anna.
Hello, this is Anna. Wanted to make a couple of fiscal updates for you guys. So first of all, today is the day, the FFR day. We're looking for your FFRs, which include your deobligation amount. So I was just in form assembly right now, and I know we have 16 FFRs submitted so far. That's two-thirds of our portfolio, so that means 8 of you haven't submitted yet. So just do me a favor, if you're a program staff on here and you aren't 100% sure that your fiscal staff has submitted it, I would double check, because we want to make sure that we have 100% on-time reports. So, of course, Mary and I are here for questions. We've been fielding those for weeks now. We do get some last-minute questions. We'll help as best as we can after this call if you have anything final to chat about. So give us a call, email us. We'll help you as best as we can, but make sure you get the FFR in by midnight or 11:59 tonight. Second announcement, so I wanted to chat quickly about the fiscal content at our Southwest National Service Conference. So we are excited to announce that we have some really awesome fiscal content. For those of you who have been around a little while, this is going to be similar to the FGMI, Federal Grants Management Institute, because there's going to be pretty extensive fiscal topics. So our goal is to have two fiscal sessions per session, or two fiscal topics per session, which is pretty amazing, and we're excited to bring that to you guys. So we'll have topics like avoiding fiscal pitfalls, OMB super circular, ITERA, allowable costs, managing fixed grants, audit site visits, and fraud. And speakers will be CNCF staff, so you'll get to hear these directives and compliance components directly from the corporation. Also, the OIG will be presenting, and we're hiring hopefully a few consultants, experienced fiscal consultants, who will be able to train and have done this for a while. So we'll have just really high quality content, and we're very excited to be able to bring that to you guys. Last topic about the Southwest National Service Conference is that we wanted to announce that based on feedback from the field, we are reducing the requirement for fiscal grant fiscal staff. So for those of you who have a fixed grant and you have fiscal staff assigned to that, instead of being required to attend the full 3 days, our requirement is that you only need to attend the first day. The first day will be the first half of the day is one star specific. There'll be one star content with just Texas, and then later on in the day, we'll have there'll be one session specifically for fixed grants that the corporation will be leading. So we wanted to make sure that we combined and condensed the fixed grant content so you guys can just come in for one day. So wanted to make that announcement. Hopefully that helps relieve the burden. I know that the fixed grants are less time-consuming on the fiscal end, so we wanted to reduce that burden for you guys. But feel free to, you know, if you have any clarification questions, Mary and I are here to answer those for you.
And just to confirm, Anna, that is Monday, June 8th.
Yes, Monday, June 8th.
The fiscal staff must be there all day.
Correct, yeah. Monday, June 8th, and then they can leave. I think it goes till 4:30.
Yeah,
I don't have it right in front of me, but it does go pretty much the full day. So it would be until 4:30, and then you could drive back or fly back or wherever. Okay, so any questions on those two pieces? Okay, silence. I'm passing it along to Mary.
Hi, everyone. The first topic I'm going to discuss is the indirect cost rate e-grants requirement. First, I want to thank all the grantees who are filling out that form, and as they have questions, they're sending them on to us, and we're sending them on to CNCF for answers. And initially, we were getting responses quickly, but currently the responses are a little slower. So if you don't hear back from us immediately, it's because we haven't heard back from CNCS immediately. Also, we haven't received any additional guidance from CNCS on this, but when we do receive it, we will forward it on. And then my next topic is Fidelity Bonds. Everyone's favorite fiscal piece of their grants are the Fidelity Bonds, I know. So some of the insurance companies send renewals directly to OneStar, which is fantastic when it happens. Unfortunately, that's not occurring across the board. So we're asking you to work with your insurance providers to have certificates mailed directly to us. We are checking for expired certificates, then reviewing the PERs. And so if you don't have one on file, you're going to hear from us. So we'd love it if you're proactive and contact your agencies in advance, look through your files, make sure that your policies are current, and send it to us before we ask you to, rather than waiting for us to review. Does anyone have any questions about the bonds? Dead silence. Awesome.
All right. Thank you, Mary and Anna. So I'm not hearing any questions on any of those topics yet. So I'm going to turn it over to Elisa Gleason to give some grant management updates. Elisa?
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I just have a couple of updates. The first is that some of you may have seen the corporation sent out a new funding opportunity last week. It's called Youth Opportunity. It's a special notice of funding opportunity that looks extremely similarly to the one that came out in the fall. The difference is that it's specifically geared towards youth opportunity programs. OneStar is not accepting applications for this funding opportunity. So if you or any of your partners or colleagues are interested in that opportunity, they'll need to apply directly to CNCS. The turnaround time, just so that you all are aware, April 20th is the highly encouraged notice of intent to apply, and then May 20th is the actual submission deadline for the application. And then those are for programs to start in the 2015-16 program year. So that's for 2015-16. The next thing that I wanted to mention, Anna and Mary already kind of mentioned it, but as part of your FFRs, you are providing information on deobligations. Once that information has been provided to OneStar and your grants officers have reviewed it, I will be sending out deobligation amendments in the next week or so. So be on the lookout for those, especially if you have indicated that you have deobligated funds. The next thing is that we, depending on who you are, if you are competitively funded, if you're formula funded, if you're new recompete, or if you're in continuation, there are a couple updates for a couple of those groups. If you are a competitive continuation program, I sent an email out yesterday that CNCS is doing a second round of clarification for you all. It sounds like just some of you may get clarification and some of you may not. So just be aware that CNCS is doing a second round of clarification for you guys. And so if that's news to you, please be sure that you check out the email that I sent. I think it was yesterday. If you are part of the formula new recompete group and your application is currently under review by OneStar, after this call today, you will be receiving a clarification letter on your application. All folks who submitted that application will be receiving a clarification letter. And so be on the lookout for that email to come from me today. Let's see. The next thing is that for our 2015-2016 program start, as you all know, we typically do a getting started, or it used to be called pre-award document or fiscal readiness. It's been called a number of things over the years, but this year we're calling it getting started. Those documents are going to be due dependent upon your proposed budget period start date. So if you are in August 1 or earlier, start date. Your getting started documents will be due to OneStar on June 24th. So please write that date down in your calendar. We're going to try and give you all as much time as possible to work on your documents and get them submitted to us. We're not at a place where we can send you the templates and whatnot quite yet, but just get it on your calendar that your documents will be due June 24th. If you are a September 1 start date, your getting started documents will be due July 23rd. So you've got a little bit more time. So just write those dates down for those getting started documents. And the importance of those is just so that we have a chance to review everything before it goes into place for your members to sign, your living allowance schedules get approved by us, et cetera. And then, of course, you don't get to have your notice of grant award until we have signed off on all those documents. So that's kind of the kicker on those. And of course, you cannot start your members until you've received your NOVA. So you see how important this becomes. All right. The last thing that I want to announce is that we had an extremely successful NASO, New AmeriCorps Staff Orientation, a few weeks ago. And I will be hosting a second NASO, New AmeriCorps Staff Orientation, in July. It's scheduled to take place here in Austin at the CIS of Central Texas office space. And the dates for that are July 16th and 17th. It's a Thursday and a Friday. So if you are interested in sending someone to that, Emily has forbidden me from opening my NASO registration until you all have signed up for the Southwest cluster. But as soon as that's kind of over, then we will release or provide you with the registration information for that July NASO. So your first priority should be attending Southwest cluster. Your second priority is attending the July NASO for any new staff members that may be with your organization. That's it for me. Do you guys have any questions about that stuff? Great. You guys are full of questions today. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Elisa. And if you can't tell, we're very serious about you all attending the Southwest National Service Conference here. And that's actually a good reminder for me to mention, as it is spelled out in your terms and conditions for this current 2014-15 grant year, that you must send your primary program and primary fiscal contact on the grant to Southwest National Service Conference unless you meet the exception that Anna mentioned earlier, which is that your fiscal staff or fixed amount grantees can come just for day one, which is Monday, June 8th. But our regular grantee meeting will be Monday, June 8th in the morning, and then the conference will kick off that afternoon, and it will go a full day Tuesday and a full day Wednesday. And this is considered your annual required grantee training. And there will be a lot of really great, useful, practical, detailed sessions for you that will be very helpful. And there will be kind of a beginner level track for kind of newer programs or programs that want refresher courses on things like member files and member management, member recruitment. And then there will be some really advanced topics all the way into navigating member complaints and grievances and healthcare and evaluation and performance measurement. So lots of detailed sessions for you. Okay, we have a few minutes left. So I wanted to take a few minutes to spotlight some of the Mayor's and County Day of Recognition successes that we had around the state. And in particular, I've asked if Heather and Swift, if you guys would speak a little bit about what you do there in Schulenburg and Weimar and in the local surrounding counties, because year after year, you guys have really been able to secure tremendous support from your local elected officials. Without us even coming to you, you've already kind of done it so quickly before we can even touch base with you about it. And the photos and everything always comes out so well, and the members seem so engaged with your local elected officials. So could you guys talk a little bit about your process and help inspire others for future years?
Yes, I'd be happy to. As most of you know, we're in a very rural area, so some of the things that work for us don't always necessarily translate to larger cities, and things sometimes they're done a little bit more easily in the rural area just because, you know, people tend to know one another. But we do utilize a couple of strategies in that one of our strategies is to actually recruit officials onto our board of directors. And the mayor of Weimar actually has in the past served as the SWIFT board chair. And the mayor of Schulenburg's wife has been a past secretary of our board of directors. So actually recruiting them to serve on our board of directors has been a good strategy for us to keep them engaged and aware of what we're doing in the communities. Another strategy that we've utilized is actually to recruit the children or family members of the officials, because the Fayette County judge actually has had both his daughter and his daughter-in-law serve as AmeriCorps members in the past. And so this is a great way for them to know firsthand what's going on. So in as in all things with nonprofits and with AmeriCorps, relationships are really the key. So we establish relationships either with the officials themselves or the people, the staff members who are in charge of scheduling their calendars. So, for example, I serve on a committee with a lady who keeps the judge's calendar in Fayette County. And so if you establish relationships, you serve on committees with these people, attend mixers where all these people are at, and you always, you know, talk to them and update them about what you're doing, then they're familiar with what you're doing. And when you make the phone call and ask, hey, you know, we need to get some time in front of the judge or with the mayor, it's not a problem. I know the first time it happened, you said, how did you get in touch with the mayor so quickly in Weimar? I said, well, I just texted him. But so that's one of those things that where it may not really apply, but the mayors of both towns and the county judge were happy to sign proclamations recognizing the good work that all of our members do. And they gave them some time and personally thanked them and asked to hear stories about what they're doing in the community. And they were very interested. And it was really exciting for the members to know that the judge and the mayors were real appreciative of the work they're doing. And the other things that we do also is if we're having any special events, we always invite them to participate. And I've also always gotten great pictures. We do have a short art camp that runs over the summer, and the mayor of Weimar always comes to the art camp. And so we have pictures of him, and we put it on social media as well, which looks good for him with our young students and their great artwork. So those are just some of the strategies that we've utilized in order to engage our officials.
Thanks so much, Heather, and thank you all again for all the work that you do. I think the relationships you've built are tremendously strong, and that's just wonderful to hear that. So, we just really appreciate everything you guys do there.
Well,
does
thank
anybody
you.
Else? You're welcome. Does anybody else want to share any Mayor's Day successes? I know we had some pretty big events in Houston and Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, El Paso, all over the state, Amarillo, but they couldn't be on the call today. Does anybody else want to share any highlights from attending Mayor's Day? Or a County Day?
This is Mary Ellen, and in Austin, I think what was really nice to see is the evolution over the last several years where there seems to be a lot of inclusiveness of all the streams of service, but also sort of clarity among the speakers about that inclusiveness, and that's really nice because it's frustrating to the members if someone thinks they're all VISTAs and they're not, or someone thinks they're all AmeriCorps State or all Senior Corps. So it was just really nice to, I feel like there's growing awareness of the different streams, and it was real inclusive.
Thanks, Mary Ellen. Yes, we're working hard at that, although, as you know, AmeriCorps and Senior Corps can be very confusing, so we're always trying
yeah.
to explain it.
But so it was nice.
Excellent. Any other highlights? Okay, great. Well, I know I was in El Paso, and it was a wonderful event, and it was during the City Council
meeting, and I know that United Way of El Paso and Avance were there, along with the Senior Corps programs, many of which are actually administered by the City of El Paso. So it was wonderful to receive the recognition and see the members interacting with Senior Corps volunteers and local community members. So thank you all for hosting me in El Paso, and for those of you who hosted One Star staff in other areas as well. It really is amazing to see how much bipartisan support and nonpartisan support we're getting for national service. And this kind of thing really does matter when it comes down to, you know, budget cut time and appropriations at the congressional level. If we can say, you know, that we had 280 elected officials in Texas that are supporting the national service programs in their areas, that really does add up quite a bit to making sure that funding is sustained for these programs and for you all as well. So thank you again for participating, and we're looking forward to next year. Before we adjourn, is there anybody else who joined the call late that we did not take work from at the beginning?
Rip Rowan and Jeff Mann from Texas Family Literacy are here.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
And Karen Sproul.
Who was that?
Hello.
Karen?
I'm sorry. Yes, Karen Sproul from City Year, Boston.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you.
Carrie Megacy from Teach for America in Dallas.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you.
Alyssa Martinez and Arlette Longhill with Project Grad Houston.
Great. Thank you, ladies. Anybody else? Great. Well, we have 5 minutes to spare. Thank you all so much for your time, and please do contact your grants officers if you have any questions or need any last-minute help on your APRs, FFRs, or G obligation, which are due by midnight tonight. Thank you all so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
The organizer has disconnected, and this conference will continue for 60 minutes.